Anatomy and Physiology, Gulf Coast State College. Today we continue our discussions about the blood. In particular, we're going to talk about blood groups and blood types. To some of you, this may be a topic you already know a little bit about. There may be several people listening to this recording that even know what blood type you are. So let's define this and figure out what it is and what it means. In the human body, there probably are more than 30 different blood groups. Thank goodness for this survey course, we're only going to talk about the two main blood groups that probably are the most relevant ones to you in both real life and in healthcare if you're headed in that direction. So let's go ahead and break it down, starting with the first blood group we'll talk about, which is the ABO blood group. Within this blood group, there are four blood types: type A, type B, type AB, and type O. Again, that is something that many of you are likely familiar with, and you might even know which type you are. But let's talk about exactly what that means, how we type blood, and what the significance is in real life. In a picture here from your book, we have four red blood cells drawn in a horizontal fashion across this slide. On the surface of those red blood cells, you see different colored markers, so to speak, and those are really called antigens. Let's back up here a little bit and do a little refresher. Remember when we did cell structure and function, we did the plasma membrane in great detail. You know the plasma membrane is studded with various things like proteins. Also, please recall the glycocalyx. That was the sugary coat on the cell membrane that included things like glycolipids. These are structures, either proteins, glycolipids, or other things that stud all of our cell surfaces pretty much. And in this case, we're talking about red blood cells and blood types. And the ABO blood group consists of these four different blood types that actually are pieces of glycolipids that are poking off our red blood cell surfaces. And that is how we type the blood. We look at the type of glycolipid that's poking off the surface. And that glycolipid that's poking off the surface is called an antigen. Let me back off a little bit here because we need to define the term antigen. We go over it in great detail in immunology, but let me just try to hit on the surface here. Antigens are usually pieces of protein, but they can also be other things, like I just said. In this case, they could be glycolipids. We have our own antigens. They're called our self-antigens. They're our own self-markers, so we could tell ourselves from another person. I could tell myself from you. I could tell my body from a foreign invader, like a bacteria or a transplanted kidney or a cancer that doesn't belong inside me. Antigens that don't belong inside of us, we call foreign antigens. And again, they're usually pieces of protein that don't belong in us. If we have a piece of protein that doesn't belong inside of us, our body will recognize it as foreign and our immune system will ramp up, it'll fire up, get all jacked up and try to attack it in a massive sort of an onslaught that we'll learn in the immunology section. In this case, our self-antigen, you could also think of, if you're a military person, I believe our airplanes have something called an IFF. That means identify friend versus foe. That's why in the heat of battle, when there's jets flying all over the place in the dark of night, we don't shoot down our own jets because they put out a certain signal that says, hey, I'm on your team. If you're not a military type, you could just think about football. College football, of course, as many of you know, if you know me, I just love college football. And the way we can tell our team from not our team is by looking at the uniform. So another way of thinking about these antigens that stud our cell surfaces, think of them as uniforms that we can identify us as us. With some of that basic information at hand, let's go ahead and see how we tell whether someone's type A, B, or whatever. Let's start off to the left here with this figure of a red blood cell, and it's showing these little purple balls tacked onto the surface of the red blood cell's membrane. And the antigen is called an A antigen. Therefore, if a person has the A antigen on the surface of their red blood cell, we call them type A. Let's slide over to the right, shown here in sort of a pale baby blue triangle stuck on the cell surface. This is a type B red blood cell because that antigen on the surface is called a B antigen. If someone has type AB red blood cells, that means they have both A and B antigens, pieces of glycolipids. That can be identified with a test I'll show you in a minute. They have both on their surface, therefore they're called type AB. Take a look at this red blood cell to your far right. There is neither an A antigen nor a B antigen studding that cell membrane surface. Since there's none or zero antigens, we call that type O. So that's how we determine and define the four blood types within the ABO blood group. Yes, you might have guessed it. I am type A. No jokes, please. But let's just leave it at that. One more thing you should know. In a person's plasma, you know that's the liquidy part of their blood, they have antibodies. And if someone were to ask you, like me, on a test, what type of antibodies are floating around in my blood plasma, all you have to remember is the antibodies in my plasma are the opposite of whatever the antigen is on my red blood cell. Let's go do some examples. Again, let's say, for example, I'm type A. If I'm type A, that means I got A antigen on my red blood cell. So what's in my plasma as far as an antibody floating around? It's the opposite, which is B. B is the opposite of A. So I have anti-B antibodies floating in my blood plasma. Let's do some more examples. Let's say someone else is type B red blood cell. That means they have B antigens on their red blood cell surface. If I ask you what antibodies are floating in their plasma, you say the opposite. And the opposite of B is A. So they have anti-A antibodies floating in their plasma. What about type AB? Remember, they have both A and B antigens on their red blood cell surface. So the opposite of having both is neither. If I or anybody asks you in a testing situation, what antibodies does a type AB person have floating in their blood plasma? You say neither antibody. Likewise, look at type O. Remember, type O on their red blood cell surface, they have neither A nor B antigen on the plasma membrane of the red blood cell. What's the opposite of having neither? The opposite of having neither is having both. Therefore, one more time, if I ask you what's in the plasma of a type O patient, you say both anti-A and anti-B antibodies. All that being said, the absolute key and most important and really only clinically relevant thing on this slide that I want you to remember forever is the four blood types in the ABO blood group are based on which antigen is on the red blood cell. That's the key. Type A has A antigen, type B has B antigen, type AB has both A and B antigen, and type O has neither antigen on its surface. As far as what's floating in the plasma, to tell you the truth, although that could float around as a test question, so to speak, it really is almost insignificant clinically. this is a picture I threw in, just a visual to remind you of what our self-antigens are all about. There are markers on our cell surfaces. So I could tell I'm me, and you could tell you're you, and we could tell if someone is on our team or not on our team. If someone's on our team, we leave them alone, we help them. If someone's not on our team, we might try to attack and destroy them. Here comes a table. This table at first might seem overwhelming, but here's the bottom line, and I have it as my final slide in this small section of this PowerPoint. You already know how we do the blood types. I already told you that. Your blood type equals whatever antigen you have on your red blood cell. End of story. That's your blood type. To be able to figure out how to fill in the boxes in this table, you need to know one thing. Do not put any antigen in anybody that they don't already have. Never put a piece of protein or a piece of glycolipid or any other antigen inside somebody if they don't already have it. Why? Because if you put a piece of foreign material in somebody that don't belong, their immune system's going to recognize it and attack it, and bad stuff's going to happen. That's exactly what happens in a transfusion reaction, which I don't want anybody listening to this tape to create. If you put the wrong blood type, that means the wrong antigen, in somebody that doesn't belong, their body's going to react to it. It's going to attack it. It's going to try to destroy those red blood cells. It's going to literally dissolve them, which can lead to kidney failure and could even lead to death. So don't put any antigen in anybody that they don't already have. With that in mind, you should be able to fill in all these blanks. So let's do it together. Let's say again, I am blood type A. You know that means, and the key point of all is that means I have antigen A poking off my surface. Therefore, remember, what are the antibodies floating around in my blood plasma, which, by the way, are very small and really clinically insignificant? Well, it's just the opposite. So the opposite of A would mean I have anti-B antibodies in my plasma. Let's move down vertically first. If I'm blood type B, that means I have antigen B on my surface. What antibodies do I have in my plasma? The opposite. So I have anti-A antibodies in my blood plasma. Type AB means that you have both A and B antigens on the surfaces of your RBCs. The opposite of both is neither. So if someone asks you what antibodies are floating around in the plasma of a type AB person, you say neither, because neither is the opposite of both. Finally, in this column, type O means you have no antigens essentially on your surface, as far as ABO antigens anyway. You don't have A antigens, nor do you have B antigens on the surfaces of your red blood cells if you're type O. So what antibodies are floating around in your plasma? Well, what's the opposite of neither? The opposite of neither is both. So you have both antibodies to A and B in your blood plasma if you're type O. Now let's talk about something that's really clinically relevant, because you want to know how to transfuse people with blood without causing any damage. Let's talk about each of these blood types again. We'll talk about who they can donate to and who they can receive from. Let's begin at the top with blood type A. Remember, the whole key is they have A antigen on their surface, and you never want to put anything into anybody that they don't already have. So let's slide over to the donate to column. Who can type A people donate blood to? Well, only to people who already have the A antigen in their body. Who has A antigen in their body? I mean, look at the blood selections off to your left. They can donate to type A. You could always donate to yourself or to the same blood type. And they can also donate to type AB because type AB has a antigen. You're not putting anything in them they don't already have. Let's do the same thing for type B. Remember, they have antigen B on their surface. So who could they donate to? Anybody who has a B. That means they could donate to type B, and again, they could donate to type AB because you're not putting anything in those people they don't already have. Let's slide down here to blood type AB. Remember, they have both A and B antigens on their surface, so this gets a little bit more difficult and more tricky, doesn't it? The key is don't put anything in anybody they don't already have. So the problem here is if you're type AB, you can only donate to type AB. Recall the ultimate key is don't put anything in anybody they don't already have. Let's now go down to type O because that's a special case and a much better situation. Type O is called type O because they got no or neither A nor B antigens on their surface. So who could they donate to? Well, they could donate to themselves. You could always donate to yourselves or to type O individuals that are like you. They can also donate to A, to type B, and to type AB. Why? Because they have no antigens, and therefore you essentially can't put anything into these people that they don't already have. That's why they could donate to any other blood type, theoretically. And the name for type O people, they are called universal donors for just that reason. Let's finally finish this table off by trying to figure out who we can receive from. But it's all based on the same information that we've already gone over in great detail. Okay, so now let's do type A. Type A means I have A antigen inside me. Who could I receive from? The whole point is, remember, don't put anything in me I don't already have. So I can receive from type A, of course, because I already have A in me, and I can receive from type O because they don't have any antigens, either A or B, on their surface. That way, you're not putting anything in me that I don't already have. Likewise, for type B, who can type B patients receive from? Well, they can always receive from type B because you can always receive from yourself or someone who's just like you. And they can receive from type O. Recall again, type O has no antigens, that is neither A nor B on their surface. So you're not putting anything in that patient they don't already have. Ah, let's slip down to type AB patients. If you're type AB, remember you have A and B antigens on your blood cells, so who can you receive from? Well, you can receive from AB because you can always receive from yourself or someone who's just like you. You can receive from type A, you can receive from type B, and you can receive from type O because you're not putting any antigens into an AB patient they don't already have because they have both. For that reason, type AB patients are called or referred to as the universal recipient, so to speak, because they can receive blood from all the other four blood types because you ain't putting anything in them they don't already have. Last, to finish off this table, let's look at type O. And type O is in a different situation and really at a disadvantage when we're in this column. Who can they receive blood from? Remember, the key is don't put anything in anybody they don't already have. Unfortunately, in this column, type O patients who have no antigens or really neither A nor B antigens on their surface, well, you can't put anything in them. You can't put type A, you can't put type B, you can't put type AB because that would be putting a piece of something in them they don't already have. They wouldn't like it and they would attack it. So the only thing or only people they can receive from is themselves, type O, or people like them. Type O can only receive from type O or else big problems occur. This slide here is nice because it tells you how do they determine in the laboratory what blood type you are. Remember, as far as the ABO blood group, there's only four types. And what we have here off to your left in this diagram are four untreated samples of blood that maybe they took from me and you and two of your classmates. And in the end, please remember, there's only four possible choices that there can be. It can be type A, type B, type AB, and type O. So how do they figure it out? It's all in the middle of this diagram. What they do in the lab is they have these two tubes. The tube in blue is a special serum, and inside this liquid serum are anti-A antibodies. And then they have this tube shown in yellow with special serum. This liquid is filled with anti-B antibodies. Let's go ahead and take the first untreated blood sample, let's say it's mine, to your upper left, and let's drop some anti-A antibodies in there. And look what happened to that blood sample. It changed dramatically in appearance. As a matter of fact, the blood got all clumpy. We call that agglutination. That's A-G-G-L-U-T-I-N-A-T-I-O-N. That means things clump together, because that's what happens when you mix an antibody and its matching antigen together in the human body. It clumps together. It's a signal something's wrong. As a matter of fact, when we do immunology, we'll see that when we have an antigen-antibody matching combination, a hookup, so to speak, the body recognizes that as bad and it tries to attack it. Now we drop into my blood, we drop in some anti-B antibodies. And what happens? Nothing. That tells me that I don't have any B antigens in my blood. All I have is A, so I am given, of course, type A blood. Let's do some more examples. Let's say this is one of your classmates, the second blood sample down. We mix in some anti-A antibodies. Nothing happens. No clumping. That means no A antigens in this unknown blood sample. However, we drop in anti-B antibodies, we get that magical clumping. That must mean there are B antigens on that blood. Therefore, this person is type B. Next unknown sample. We drop in anti-A antibodies, we get clumping. That tells us that there are type A antigens in this blood specimen. Then we drop in some anti-B antibodies and we also get clumping. That means this blood sample has type B antigens too. Therefore, overall, since both clumped, this must be a type AB blood type. Last blood sample shown down here to your lower left. We treat it with anti-A antibodies, nothing happens. We treat it with anti-B antibodies and nothing happens. So that means this person has neither A nor B antigens, got nothing. So we got the big goose egg here. We got the type O, and that's how they do it in the lab. Well, that's the short, sweet, and easy way to check blood types. And that might get you by in an emergency situation, but in the real world, that's really not good enough, because unfortunately for you, there are really many more than just a couple of antigens on the surfaces of our cells, including our red blood cells. We have many, many, many different antigens studying our blood cells and body cells. So when we want to give a transfusion to somebody in the operating room, we want to make sure that we match them up a lot better than just matching type A with type A, because that's not good enough in the real world. So for example, if I'm going to the operating room, or your patient's going to the operating room for a major surgery that may involve major blood loss, you have to be ready for that, of course. And what they do to make a good match so you don't have a transfusion reaction, so you don't attack and dissolve the blood that you receive is they do something called cross matching. It's a really cool thing to do an internet search on. And this is what they do in effect. They take the patient's blood sample and then they mix it with serum. That's the liquidy part of blood from the potential donor. And in that serum from the donor, there's all kind of antibodies, not just like anti-A antibody or anti-B antibody. There's antibodies to all different antigens that may be on your blood cell surface. So they mix the serum of the potential donor with the blood of the potential recipient, and then they look for clumping. If there's clumping, that indicates that there will likely be a transfusion reaction. There must be some antibody antigen combination causing that to clump together. If there's no clumping, that's a really good sign that it's a pretty good match. So that's what's meant by the term cross matching, and that's how we really do it in the hospital to lessen the chances of a transfusion reaction. This next slide is not meant for you to memorize. It's meant to show you the distribution of blood types in different population groups. Notice that the majority, and maybe this should be a take-home point, the majority of people, at least in this table, are either type O or type A. The next blood group that we're going to talk about is the Rh blood group. I do want you to know this. Notice almost everybody is what we call Rh positive. Speaking of the Rh blood group, that is the second and only other blood group we'll talk about in our course. This is, again, another antigen on our red blood cells. It's a piece of protein that studs the surface of our red blood cells. It's very common. Almost every single person has the Rh factor on their red blood cells. That means almost all of us are Rh positive. If you care, the way the Rh blood group got its name was because it was first found in a type of a monkey called the rhesus monkey. So the letters Rh stuck. The bottom line again is when you're typing and cross-matching and screening people for transfusions, you have to make sure all this matches up. Don't put an antigen in anybody they don't already have. You certainly wouldn't want to put Rh positive blood inside an Rh negative person, or else that person is going to develop antibodies to that antigen, attack that blood, dissolve that blood, lead to serious injury and or death. Let's use this figure from your book to emphasize the importance of knowing the Rh blood group and the significance of it. Within the Rh blood group, there are two types. There's Rh positive, which we almost all are, and there's Rh negative. Again, the bottom line is you never want to put an antigen in somebody that doesn't already have it. If I put Rh positive blood in an Rh negative person, they're going to recognize that as foreign. Their immune system is going to mount a massive attack, which can lead to serious injury and or death. Here's the example that we like to use a lot. Here is a mother. She is Rh negative, which is rare but certainly possible. She is pregnant, and let's say her first baby is Rh positive, which most human beings are. If this goes unidentified and or untreated, here's the problem. During that first pregnancy, some of those baby's blood cells are going to cross over into the mommy's bloodstream. She's going to recognize that piece of protein as being foreign, and she's going to mount an immune response. She's going to generate a whole ton of what we call anti-Rh antibodies, shown here what looks like as red wrenches or whatever. Believe it or not, your body can crank out about 100 million copies of antibodies per day for several days. So she has that in her system, usually not an issue for that first pregnancy, because usually the baby is born before those antibodies can really attack that first baby. But here's the problem. Again, if this goes unrecognized, untreated, What happens is the mom gets pregnant again. Here is the second fetus, which again most likely is going to be an Rh positive fetus. What happens now is some of those babies' blood cells slip across into the mommy's circulation. Now the mom has already seen that antigen before, and the way the immune system works is we have memory of what we've seen in the past. So if we see a foreign invader again, our immune system can mount a huge, rapid, tremendous, overwhelming attack if we're ever exposed to that same foreign antigen again. And that's exactly what happens. That baby gets attacked in utero. That means that baby gets attacked in the womb. It's called hemolytic disease of the newborn, which is abbreviated down here as HDN, but you should look it up in your book or online and write it down. And it is what it says it is. It's a disease of the newborn where we have hemolysis, or where the blood is lysed or dissolved, and it essentially liquefies the baby's blood. It can range in severity very dramatically. It can be a minor illness, believe it or not, or it can also be deadly. And I've seen it where the baby was stillborn, and it's just devastating to see. How do we use our knowledge, though, to help people? You're not just here to take this course again. Hey, you're here to help people. So you need to know about this because you can prevent this from happening. And somebody invented this drug called Rogam. And again, they're a multi-bazillionaire, and they save thousands of people's lives just using this knowledge. Rogam is anti-Rh antibodies. Somebody used this knowledge and basically put it into a tube, and you all are going to inject this into people. Here's how it goes. Once you know a mother is Rh negative, just before delivery, you're going to inject her with anti-Rh antibodies. Why? So just in case a couple of the Rh positive baby's red blood cells slipped into the mommy's circulation, these anti-Rh antibodies is going to bind up to those red blood cells and prevent the mother's immune system from essentially seeing them, so she'll never mount an attack. You also will give her a second injection of Rogam just after delivery. So whenever there is an Rh negative mother, you're always going to inject her with Rogam. That's anti-Rh antibodies, just before delivery and just after delivery. The point is to prevent her immune system from ever seeing that piece of protein, that Rh positive factor that we talked about, so that she'll never be able to develop, hopefully, an immune response and attack an Rh positive baby. Some of you are probably thinking, well, why don't you test the baby just to make sure? Well, that's a little bit risky. It's not commonly done. I mean, we know that most babies are Rh positive. You can do an amniocentesis. You can do chorionic villus sampling. But again, why go through all that? At the time of this recording, at least, that's too risky and the benefits don't outweigh the risks. The way we do it now is, again, you just inject that Rh negative mother with Rogam just before and just after delivery, and you keep everybody out of trouble. Well, let's wrap this thing up. Here's the bottom line of what I just said. Basic summary tip regarding antigens. Don't put any antigens in anyone that aren't already there, or else antibodies are going to attack and cause hemolysis. You don't want to be that person that hangs the wrong bag of blood and causes a transfusion reaction, because that will come back to haunt you. You will never win that in front of a jury of your peers. Hopefully, after today's discussion, none of you listening to this tape will ever do that. And that's all I had on this subject. We'll see you on the flip side.